Well, this morning we're going to be taking a momentary pause from John, though I will be referencing some of the verses we have covered. But this morning, I hope to peer into a comfort only our Father can give. Our God comforts. He is the God of all comfort. And I want to remind myself and us that this comfort is secured. It is eternal. Because Jesus, by the work of the cross, has brought us into an eternal hope. Now, if you guys want to go ahead and turn your Bibles to Psalm 23:4, this is where we're going to get started. And then we're going to graze into Psalm 77, chew on Matthew 5:4, and then rest in Psalm 119:50, as well as many others this morning. But let me first pray before we jump into the Word of God. Pray before I attempt to proclaim by the power of the Holy Spirit to bring good news. Father, again this morning, Lord, I pray that it is your name that is glorified. It is your name that is lifted up. It is your face that we seek this morning. Lord, show us by your word. Holy Spirit, would you reveal to us yourself through the power of the Holy Spirit, your love, your comfort, and the hope we have that is unshakable. It's secured, as Casey was saying. It will not move because you have conquered death and you are never changing. You are always with us. Lord, help us this morning as we steer our hearts towards you, as we cling to the promises that you have in your scripture, to cling to what you have told us to hold true to. Help us this morning, Jesus. It's in your name we pray. Amen. All right, Psalm 23:4. And actually, if you guys all want to read with me, some of you are very familiar with this verse, but just read aloud with me this morning as we go through this verse. Let us begin. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. Now this is a verse many of you have may have heard before. For some of you, it's a favorite verse. I have lots of those. It's a verse that's sung about. It's a verse that's memorized. And it's a verse that Mr. Matt Pirro shared every time that before we'd go down to Mexico. But never without tears. I love that. There is something about this verse, and not only this verse, but the whole counsel of God that comforts our soul. It satisfies longings that this life cannot satisfy. It encourages our hearts and reminds us that we are in the care of our Father, guarded by our shepherd, Jesus. Back in chapter 10 of John, we see Jesus speak as the shepherd. In John 10, he says, "But he who enters by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the gatekeeper opens, the sheep hear his voice, and he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out." And then in that section, you jump down to verse 14. "I am the good shepherd. I know my own, and my own know me. Just as the Father knows me, I know the Father, and I lay down my life for my sheep." Now in Psalm 23, we see the words, "Your rod and your staff, they comfort me." Now shepherds really would use a staff, right? They not only used it for protection or discipline, but also for counting. Shepherds would hold out their staff, and as the sheep passed under, they were counted. And in John 17, Jesus said, "While I was with them, I kept them in your name, which you have given me. I have guarded them, and not one of them has been lost, except for the Son of Destruction, that the scripture might be fulfilled." It is Jesus that leads us, guards us, and keeps us. We are all counted. Those that have been given to the Son, we are not lost. He sees us, he knows us, and he calls us. And if we are his, we hear his voice. "For you are with me, your rod and your staff, they comfort me." Jesus is the good, faithful shepherd. The King, the Son of God, who is before all things, that in him he might be preeminent, is our shepherd. If you have heard the shepherd's call, you are in the flock of God, and there is no greater comfort, church. No greater comfort to be under the care of our great shepherd. Now, although we know these truths, or to be true, or we agree with these truths now, that does not mean there will not be trials, struggles, doubts, unbelief, or gut-wrenching sorrow. God, this hurts. I know you're a good father, but what are you doing? You're pushing me so hard, I'm falling. Where are you? Why are you doing this? What good is this? As we see in the beginning of Psalm 77 and many other psalms, there is a raw cry to the Father to save us. Psalm 77, 1 through 9. "I cry aloud to God, and he will hear me. In the day of my trouble, I seek the Lord. In the night, my hand is stretched out without wearying. My soul refuses to be comforted. When I remember God, I moan. When I meditate, my spirit faints. You hold my eyelids open. I am so troubled that I cannot speak. I consider the days of old, the years long ago. I said, let me remember my song in the night. Let me meditate in my heart. Then my spirit made a diligent search. Will the Lord spurn forever and never be again be favorable? Has his steadfast love forever ceased? Are his promises at the end of all time? Has God forgotten to be gracious? Has he in his anger shut up his compassion?" The psalmist is in need. The Psalm of Asaph reveals the heart of a man clinging, grasping for God's salvation. It's not up to Asaph to be saved. He's not sovereign over his circumstances. He needs. He lacks. He is insufficient within himself to bring any consolation to his own soul. He actually says, "My soul refuses to be comforted." His soul is inconsolable. See what I did there? All of his efforts to pull himself out of this downward spiral are vanity. It's not working. Charles Spurgeon shared a story with his congregation of a man of sorrows in which the medicine he gives to others is insufficient to satisfy his own parched soul. This is a great story. Spurgeon said, "Have you never heard the story which was current in Rowland Hill's day, and which I believe was true about a certain comic actor who at the time carried all the sway in London and made all who laugh who went to see and hear him? The poor man himself suffered from depression and a spirit to the worst degree, insomuch that life had become a weariness to him, and he went to consult a certain physician who was noted for dealing with hypochondriacs and melancholy persons. I'm going to read that last sentence. The poor man himself suffered from such depression of spirit to the worst degree, insomuch that life had become a weariness to him, and he went to consult a certain physician who was noted for dealing with hypochondriacs and melancholy persons. God, at that time. The doctor said to him, "Now, my friend, you are evidently very low in spirits. You should go to the theater. I went there the other night hearing so-and-so, and he made me laugh at such a rate that I am so quite sure if you went and heard him, you would soon get rid of all your melancholy." The patient took the doctor by the hand and said, "Doctor, I am that man. I have made all of London laugh, and my heart is breaking all the while." There are times when I exhaust all my efforts to fix, change, heal, comfort, or ignore pain, discomfort, or sorrow, only to increase my weariness. In Psalm 69:3, "I am weary with my crying out. My throat is parched. My eyes grow dim with waiting for my God." Our hearts do get troubled. Our hearts will be sorrowful. Our hearts do desire rest. Church, we have mourned, and we will mourn. We have had troubles, and there will be troubles. We have suffered, and we will suffer. Though we are in the safe hands of Jesus Christ in his fold, we will still see hardship. Even though his rod and his staff are near, beside us, our gaze beholds the tribulation that surrounds us. However, in God's amazing sovereignty, unfathomable, non-understanding sovereignty, he uses all things for the good of those who love him. He does not waste anything. He does not waste suffering. In Romans 5:3, "Not only that, but we rejoice in our sufferings, knowing that suffering produces endurance, and endurance produces character, and character produces hope, and hope does not put us to shame, because God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us." This is a hard verse. Rejoice in my pain, in my sorrow? How is that possible? And it's not apart from Christ. Because of Christ, comfort exists. Because of the Father's gift of faith, we have a future. And because of the Spirit's seal of salvation, we can sing. In the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus says, and he specifically speaks to those who mourn. So amazing, he calls out to those who mourn. "Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted." Yes, there is mourning now, but you will be comforted. Yes, souls ache and hurt from sin, pain, sickness, death, but the hearts, your hearts, they will be comforted. It's a promise. Jesus said, "Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted." So anybody here enjoy the comfort of their own bed, home, or whatever that comfortable spot is? Mine is a green chair at my house. Now when I sit in that green chair, I like to just close my eyes, rest my eyes, nap, whatever you want to call it. But how do you know that bed, how that spot is comfortable? Is it because you've experienced discomfort? something uncomfortable. Whether you've slept on the ground or spent nights sitting up while sleeping, or maybe you've spent nights in which sleep evades you. True comfort becomes because something that helps prior suffering loses its power. I'm going to say that again. True comfort becomes something that helps the prior suffering lose its power. True joy becomes something that helps the prior pain lose its power. My wife gave birth to 3 children. So there's joy that makes pain tolerable. And there is comfort for those who mourn. But it does not come easy. And Jesus told us it would be hard. Jesus said in chapter 16, right, of John, "In this world you will have tribulation." That's a promise too. No, it's one we definitely prefer it not to be. That pain, death, sickness, afflictions of all kinds will be present, but as we yearn for the return of our King. This is hard. Life is hard. And finding comfort in the pain and sorrow is only possible when we rest in the promises of God. His promises are sure. There is comfort in affliction, comfort in sorrow, because God's promises give life. And they give life because Jesus is alive. In this world you will have tribulation, the second half of the verse now, but take heart because I have overcome the world. 2 Corinthians 1:20 says, "For all the promises of God find their yes in Him, in Jesus." All the promises that God made are now yes because we are in Jesus. What an amazing truth. God's promises are not dependent on our responses to suffering. He is not waiting to see how we react before He decides whether or not He is going to bless us. Ephesians 1:3 through 4. "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in Christ Jesus with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places, even as He chose us in Him before the foundations of the world, that we should be holy and blameless before Him." Our hope in Christ was established before the foundation of the world. Our comfort of having eternal rest, our comfort of living in eternity, being made new, no more crying, no more dying, is as sure as the Father Himself. All right, kids, I know it's a little intense, but any of you guys ever get scared? Yes, I get scared, so you get scared. I am a child at some points, though, but when you're scared, are you usually alone or with someone? Come on, kids, help me out. Alone. When you're alone, it's hard. And being with someone brings comfort. And it doesn't matter if they're scared either, right? But if someone is with you and you're both scared together, automatically it's less scary, even though it's still scary. There's still comfort knowing you're in it together. Now, kids, the same goes for adults too. There is comfort when we know there is someone with us. Well, good news there. Because first off, our shepherd is always with us. Psalm 23, our shepherd is there. "Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me." Not will be, not was with, I am with you. "Your rod and staff, they comfort me." We are to fear not, because our shepherd is with us and his staff is in hand. Secondly, not only is he with us always, kids, I used always because it's true here, he gives us the gift of church, the church. Brothers and sisters to comfort each other going through our sharing of suffering. 2 Corinthians 1:3-7. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies, the God of all comfort, who comforts us in our affliction, so that we may be able to comfort those who are in any affliction, with the comfort which we ourselves are comforted by God. For as we shared abundantly in Christ's sufferings, so through Christ we share abundantly in comfort too. If we are afflicted, it is for your comfort and salvation. And if we are comforted, it is for your comfort, which you experienced when we patiently endure the same sufferings that we suffer. Our hope for you is unshaken. For we know that we know as you share in our sufferings, you also share in our comfort. God comforts us in our afflictions so that we can comfort others. If we as Christ followers share in the sufferings of Christ, we too will share in the comfort of the hope in Jesus Christ. Joby was able to share with Casey and I, and I think he shared on the Caring Bridge as well, early this morning, that when he first saw his dad this past Friday, he was discouraged. A lot had changed in 2 weeks when we looked up here and saw Mick being baptized, because Mick's body failed him. However, he shared that when he came into the room, Mick perked up and was able to embrace his son, or as we know him, Pastor Joby. Now, I can only imagine, and I do not know for certain, but comfort was surrounding Mick. Comfort from his family gathered around him, and most importantly, comfort from his Savior walking with him through the shadowed valley of death into a marvelous light. And I pray that the Lord's rod and staff are comforting the whole McGinty family, even now. We, as the body of Christ, are under our shepherd's care, even now, as we mourn losses. Loss of our sister Brittany, who is in perfect peace and eternal rest with her Savior, and now Mick, too, is worshiping alongside his sister in the presence of God's glory. But here, we weep alongside these families, but with a hope that holds our joy, because he is with us. We make up one body in which Christ is the head. And because we are one body, we have one hope. And that one hope is an anchor for our souls. The hope we have is not temporary. Our hope is not a hope that comes and vanishes with the wind. Our hope is not anything that this world can offer. Our hope is in the Son of God. Our hope is in the person of Jesus. Our hope is in the redeeming power of his blood. And thus, our comfort is in the Son of God. Our comfort is in the person of Jesus. And our comfort is in the redeeming power of his blood. Our hope is our comfort. Hebrews 6:19. Now we have this sure and steadfast anchor of our soul, a hope that enters into the inner place behind the curtain where Jesus has gone as a forerunner on our behalf. Now, what is this steadfast anchor for our souls? was that Jesus entered once for all into holy places, not by the means of blood and goats and calves, but by the means of his own blood, thus securing an eternal redemption. And not only did Jesus first enter into eternal rest and reign, but he also experienced the temptation, sorrow, pain, yet without sin. Hebrews 4:15, "For we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses, but one who in every respect has been tempted as we are, yet without sin." We can find our comfort in our afflictions because Christ too has been afflicted. Isaiah 53:7, "He was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. Like a lamb that was led to a slaughter, and like a sheep that before his shearers is silent, so he opened not his mouth." Our shepherd became like a sheep. The Lamb of God, who takes away the sin of the world, became like a sheep so that his flock, as his flock, we can enter into his everlasting pasture of peace. Now, once again, though we have this hope, it is not easy. We're finite. We're unable to see the unfolding of time. It's hard to see how all things are going to work to the good of those who love him. It's hard to understand scriptures like Psalm 119:17 when we're going through affliction, because it says, "It is good for me that I was afflicted, that I might learn your statutes." That's hard to understand in affliction. As time passes after suffering, God may give us grace of knowing his purpose in trial, but most of the time when we are in the pain, our prayers sound more like Psalm 40:13. "Be pleased, O Lord, to deliver me. O Lord, make haste to help me." But we do see those cries for help land in the palms of our God's hands. Psalm 34:6, as we sang this morning, "This poor man cried, and the Lord heard him and saved him out of all his troubles." May the Holy Spirit continue to strengthen our hearts to know his goodness, that his love for us is forever, and that his power is what saves us. So when we are comforted, whenever that may happen, we can then comfort others. In 2 Corinthians 1:5, Calvin had some commentary on this. He says, "The more I am tried with various afflictions, so much the more resources I have for comforting others." Receiving comfort does not necessarily take away suffering, trials, pain, but it helps endure. Too many things of this world are promising peace. Too many things promise comfort, yet deliver unrest. We need to fix our eyes on Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith. Way back in John 4, Jesus offers the woman at the well living water that she may never thirst again. And back in John chapter 6, Jesus declares, "He is the bread of life, and whoever comes to him shall never hunger." It is Jesus that satisfies. Comfort that is eternal only comes from God. Eternal comfort only comes from our eternal God. The Son came the Father that we may have eternal life. Now I read the first part of Psalm 77, and now I'm going to finish the second half of Psalm 77. This is verses 10 through 20, after he said, "Where are you?" Then I said, I will appeal to this, to the years at the right hand of the Most High. I'll remember the deeds of the Lord. Yes, I'll remember your wonders of old. I will ponder all of your work and meditate on your mighty deeds. Your way, O God, is holy. What God is great like our God? You are the God who works wonders. You have made known your might among the peoples. You with your arm has redeemed your people, the children of Jacob and Joseph. When the waters saw you, O God, when the waters saw you, they were afraid. Indeed, the deep trembled. The clouds poured out water. The skies gave forth thunder. Your arrows flashed on every side. The crash of your thunder was in whirlwind, and your lightnings lighted up the world, and the earth trembled and shook. Your way was through the sea. Your path through the great waters, yet your footprints were unseen, and you led your people like a flock by the hand of Moses and Aaron. In 2 Thessalonians 2, it says, Now may our Lord Jesus Christ himself and God our Father, who loved us and gave us eternal comfort and good hope through grace, comfort your hearts and establish them in every good work and word. Psalm 119, I know I'm just scriptures, but there is so much in the Word of God that was made to reveal his glory. Psalm 119:50. This is my comfort in affliction, that your promise gives me life. I love the psalmist that he says, this is my comfort in my affliction. Right? Although the aroma of current sorrow, past sorrow, future sorrow lingers in the pasture of our minds, the aroma of Christ overpowers the stench of death with life everlasting. The promise of new life is our comfort. Do we forget? Yes. Do we battle unbelief? Yes. Do we feel helpless in ourselves to attain this promise? Yes. But guess what? That doesn't change the promise. It does not change God's heart towards you. Because we are in Jesus Christ, and the Son of God conquered death. He sealed it. He made it sure. He conquered death. It is yours. 1 Corinthians 15. For this perishable body must put on the imperishable. And this mortal body must put on immortality. And then when the perishable puts on the imperishable and the mortal puts on immortality, then shall come to pass the saying that is written, Death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is your victory? O death, where is your sting? Now, as we close this morning, I thought of something yesterday, or actually Friday. It was a year ago yesterday, my son was bit by a rattlesnake, right? The poison that was injected into his hand was beginning to corrupt his blood. He was airlifted to the hospital where they gave him an antidote, which in this case was 3 bags of antivenom. But our bodies are corruptible. We have been bit by death and sin entered into our bodies. Mick was bit by death, but now lives in the power and the presence of Christ. Because the sting of death is sin, and the power of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, who gives us victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen? Casey sent me this passage, and it was just so amazing. To close with the rod and staff who comforts us, and now we are going to read this passage in Hebrews 13. Now may the God of peace, who brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, the great shepherd of the sheep, by the blood of the eternal covenant, equip you with everything good that you may do his will, working in us that which is pleasing in his sight through Jesus Christ. To him to whom be the glory forever and ever. Amen. Church, we have comfort. We have the comfort in our hope of one day entering into our eternal rest, into the glory of our King, our Shepherd, while in the presence of the glory of our Father. Let's pray. Father, we praise you and thank you that you have given us your word. Lord, it is on your word and your truth we stand. It is the rock we stand on. It is the rock that is higher than we are. Lord, I pray, Lord, that you would do a miraculous work in us. Holy Spirit, that you would give us the ability, give us the understanding, bring us to that comfort that has been promised. Comfort us in our afflictions. Comfort us in these times. Jesus, our comfort is sure because our hope is in you, and it is sure. Lord, we praise you and thank you this morning. Father, would you help us? Would you, as a good father, be there with us? We know you are, but Holy Spirit, would you help our eyes to see with thankfulness what you have done in our lives, what you are doing in our lives, and what you will do, because it is all for our good. Jesus, we thank you that Mick is now with you, that he has no more pain. Lord, and I pray that you surround the McGinty family with peace that transcends all understanding and a comfort that is only from you. Thank you, Lord, for your goodness. Thank you, Lord, for your steadfast love. It's in your mighty Son's name we pray, Jesus. Amen.